All right, I want to talk about the praying leader. Everybody say the praying leader. Being a praying leader. The three great influences in my life when it comes to being prayer and the prayer journey that God's taken me on. Firstly was my dad. I would wake up early in the morning and I would come out at 5 or 5:30 in the morning and I'd find my dad, who was a farmer and a missionary farmer, praying early in the morning. Then, of course, joining C3 and coming under the leadership of Pastor Phil, I was inspired to become a person of prayer. And I watched up close and at a distance his example of prayer and the culture that we have at prayer meetings. And then, of course, he connected us to Dr. Cho, who would talk about praying 3 hours a day and then in a big week, 5 hours a day. So in 2013, it was a great bucket list moment for me, spiritual bucket list moment, to go to Korea with Pastor Phil, and I saw him preach to 80,000 people in a stadium of praying Koreans, and I thought, I've got to go to Prayer Mountain. That's my dream. So I got out to Prayer Mountain. I've heard all about it. I've read about it, the fourth dimension. And I got on this bus. I was the only white guy, the only person who spoke English. And I was hoping it was going to get me to Prayer Mountain. And we got to Prayer Mountain, and it was more like Prayer Hill, really. It wasn't that big. But on the side of Prayer Mountain, there was all this stuff going on, but there was these little grottos, these little prayer things. They're about this high, and they're about this wide, and you could go in and kneel down. And so I thought, I'm going to spend half a day praying in Prayer Mountain. That's what a real Christian would do. So I got there's no real signs, and I got in there and I began to pray, and I had layers of clothing on, and what was happening on the door was this little glass section into the prayer grotto, and so the sun was beating down on the door. And so inside my tiny little prayer grotto, it's getting really hot. So I take off my jumper, I take off my tracksuit pants, I had some shorts on, and I'm getting hotter as I'll go outside, and it's really cool outside, but it's like a sauna. So I keep praying. Eventually I'm like, oh, and you can hear people crying out to God either side of me. So eventually I'm like, oh, I'll just take my shirt off. I'm gonna get into it. I'm just in my shorts. And I can hear some grunting going on outside the room. I thought, oh, they're praying strong. This is amazing. Eventually, and I kind of walk out and have a look and come back in. Eventually, I hear this lady going, "Women, women." I'm like, what's she talking about? Eventually, what she says to me in that moment, I kind of work it out. This is the women's section. You're stripped down to your shorts, praying in the women's section. And then she goes, the men are down there. Oh, it was so embarrassing. So bad. So here we go, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes to a young pastor and he says this, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, intercessions and giving thanks be made for all men." Young pastor, this is what he says, first of all, pray. I love on our culture video put so beautifully together by Team Toronto that the first thing there with Lubo and Tanya from C3 Bulgaria is first pray. It's a culture. It's part of our movement. Pastor Phil has said for many years that he would like that pastors who are part of C3 would pray for an hour a day. It hasn't been a legal requirement. It hasn't been a religious demand, but he's said that would be my expectation for pastors and leaders in a movement to pray an hour a day. At the end of this session, we're going to have an altar call. I wouldn't normally tell you what we're going to do. But at the end of this session, we're going to have an altar call for people who will commit to praying an hour a day. Now, if you already do that, this is not for you. But if you did once and you've kind of lost your prayer mojo, it's time to get it back. If you came up on the church planting altar call, this would be a great follow-up altar call to come out on, to learn how to pray an hour a day. I believe in Sabbath. I believe in holidays. I believe in margin. But the fastest way to burnout is to have a spiritual responsibility that is not matched with your prayer and word life. That's the fastest way to burnout. No amount of Sabbaths, holidays, and long service leave will fix you up if you're not a praying pastor. And so there's so many types of prayer, and I don't have time to talk about them all today. We could talk about intercession. We could talk about travailing. We could talk about petition, supplication, thanksgiving, praise. We could even talk about the prayer of lament. I'm not going to go there so much, but I want to talk about three particular types of prayer that I would love you to build into your prayer life. I like to think of it like this. Paul talks to Timothy about his spiritual fitness as being way more important than his exercise life. I think of it like this. To be well physically, it's not just weights. It's also cardio. That's a word for somebody today. And it's not just cardio and weights or fitness or aerobic capacity. It's also stretching. And each of those types of exercise will do something for your physical well-being. They'll build strength and flexibility and stamina. And so I believe that different types of prayer will produce different things in you. So if you only do one type of prayer, you're going to miss out on the benefits of other types of prayer. Prayer is the journey of a lifetime. It's the greatest privilege. It's the greatest joy. It's also work, discipline, and when your prayer life really starts to zing, you will find it will overflow into every part of your life. I would suggest spending just as much time preparing you, the minister, as you spend preparing your message for a Sunday. That you'll get a fire, a cooking on the inside, so that the Word of God, which is anointed in its own right, will have an anointing that comes from you because of the fire that you've got on the inside. So let's talk about three types of prayer. The first one I want to talk about is praying in tongues. Shagadabamre kiribamba. I'm kind of hoping that it's Russian, my tongues. It sounded quite similar to the brother and sister praying the other day, but I don't think it is. ORU did a research and they found out that when you pray in tongues and sing in the spirit, that there are chemicals secreted from part of your brain into your immune system that boost your immune system 35 to 40% more when you pray in tongues. And it comes from a part of the brain that is not activated by anything else except spiritually praying in the Holy Ghost. Ramba shakaramba. Let's go. So we believe in praying in tongues. We're a Pentecostal movement. We're happy to pray in tongues up front and behind. We're happy to pray in tongues in the spirit. We're happy to pray in our prayer life. There's a power. The devil attacks everything powerful. And so there's a power in praying in the Holy Ghost. Things happen when you pray in the Holy Ghost. Corinthians tells us he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. It's like you charging your mobile phone. When you plug that baby in, it charges. And if you go and make a call with no battery, you won't connect. When you pray in tongues, you charge your spirit man. You charge your battery and you begin to connect with God. I love to have visual pictures because my mind wanders when I pray. So I love to have visual pictures of what's happening while I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I have scriptures actually on my wall to remind me what's happening. So I like to put my hands out and like I'm holding the hands of the Holy Ghost and saying, I'm praying in tongues right now and I'm building up my spirit. Shakamba robalete kamba. There's a transfer. I'm building myself up in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in tongues, there's an overflow out of your belly, the Bible, Jesus said, will flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Ghost, who had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. See, there's a way to get filled in the Spirit that will come when we worship, and it comes and God pours into us. But you've got a spring on the inside. There's more than one way to get filled with the Holy Ghost, not just being in worship where other people have paid the price, but you and I, we pay the price and we pray in the Spirit. And out of our belly begins to flow a spring, and you start, and you don't feel like it at the start, but when you get going, you get a flow, and the spring begins to fill up, and you get filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us when we pray in tongues, we don't speak to man, we speak to God. We don't understand what we're saying. I love that. But the Bible tells us that we speak mysteries in the Spirit. Mysteries. I reckon God likes to get our head uninvolved in our prayers because our unbelief would just earth what we're praying. So he says, I want you to pray in tongues because I've got all these big things for you to do. And I don't want your puny little mind to get in the road. So just like Elizabeth's husband, we get muted so that we can pray the mysteries in the Spirit. A number of years ago, I set a goal to pray 100 hours in a month. A little prayer flex there. Haven't done it yet since then, but that particular month I did, and I got to the last day and I needed to do an all-nighter, just like a good uni student. So Danielle was at Pastor Chris's conference, Every Woman Conference, and I set out to pray all night to hit my 100 hours. And from at 7 o'clock, I got into the lounge room and I began to pray. Pastor Phil, something came on me. It was like, it was the easiest from 7 till 9 was the easiest prayer I've ever done. I didn't get tired. I didn't want to stop. It was like a burden, an intercession. I had no idea what I was praying, but something began to happen. I was speaking mysteries in the Spirit. Then it finished at 9 o'clock, and then the rest of the night I ground through. It was hard work. I was like, come back, Holy Spirit, where did you go? And prayer's like that sometimes. Sometimes it's discipline and work and you're just grinding it out. And other times it's easy and there's a flow. Don't be mistaken, they're both equally powerful. And so I went to bed, I got up the next morning and I found out I had all these mixed calls, and my sister, who'd been away from God for many, many years, and it's a long story, but I was told that she died last night. And she hadn't been well, she'd been really unwell. And I was told my other sister's pastor had, God spoke to them and said, your sister Trish is going to die tonight. We need to get someone around there to get her right with Jesus before she dies. So a guy from the church goes around, she's in her car, can't get out of her car because she's so sick. They call the ambulance, and then he goes and begins to talk to her about Jesus. And for 2 hours from 7 till 9, she repents of all of her sin, gets right with God, to the point where she's like, I feel so much lighter. I think I'm healed. I think I'm better. But it was salvation. God needs your prayers to intercede with the Holy Spirit that the will of God might be done on the earth. So many things are happening when you pray in tongues. Oh, we're a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-believing movement, and I love that about us. That's tongues. That does something. All sorts of things are happening. But what about fellowship with God? My favorite. Call it waiting and worshiping. If you only ever pray in tongues, you're going to miss out on something else. Worship, connection. Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:14, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. There's time to be on the front foot in prayer. There's time to be just sitting down, enjoying fellowship with the Spirit. Danielle talks about measureless grace, an exchange of our pain. We bring it to the foot of Jesus, and the grace of Jesus comes and strengthens us. The Bible tells us in Romans that the Holy Spirit, one of his job descriptions is to pour the love of our Father into our heart. And I love, in my quiet time, I go into a room and I shut the door in the morning, early in the morning, and it's been my practice for years, and I love just to say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Please come and pour Father's love into my heart again. Come and give me that grace. And I talk to the Holy Spirit. He's my friend. I love him. He reveals Jesus to me. I love that the Bible tells us that Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice, I'll come in and I will have fellowship with you. Now, I know we all use that for the altar call, but that's written to the church. Jesus wants to come in and sit down and says he prepares a meal for you in the presence of your enemies. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do in the middle of warfare, in the middle of everything that's going on, is to stop and say, Jesus, come on in. I'm going to close the door. I'm going to come into the secret place. I'm going to get under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to be real with you, and I'm going to look at you and enjoy eating with you. And I'm pretty sure he likes meat. Pretty sure he likes coffee. There's an exchange that happens, the grace of God, the love of the Father. When you wait on him, when you spend time waiting on him and worshiping him, all sorts of things happen. The Bible says when you wait on the Lord, your strength gets renewed. Just to slow down and get in his presence, you get your strength renewed. When you wait on the Lord, the Bible, we're told that he'll whisper to us. We sensitize our spirit to the Spirit of God who lives in us. and he whispers to us. Sometimes it's correction, sometimes it's encouragement, just it's awesome. The Bible tells us if you wait on the Lord, you'll get clothed with power. Don't wait till Sunday morning to start praying for power for Sunday morning's meeting. Just enjoy him and enjoy getting clothed with power. When the woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment, he hadn't been praying for a moment to you know, he hadn't been preparing for a meeting. He'd just been withdrawing to be with his father. And he got power, dunamos, in his garments. He just got clothed. And as much as I hate filling up the petrol tank because it seems to take too long because I'm a naturally impatient person, I've learned to be patient in the presence of God and to wait, to feel the weight of God come on my clothes, come on me, and to step, and then just throughout the day and throughout the week, and it's amazing if you make time for God during the week, when you have a moment and you need God, you got him. It's awesome. He's ready to use you. Wait for him. But don't just stop there. Because if the only kind of prayer, and there's seasons in your prayer life where there's an emphasis on one thing and an emphasis on another thing. But I've found this with my physical fitness. I never feel like doing cardio. In fact, I barely ever feel like doing any exercise. So you can get in this beautiful sense of the presence of God, and you can get it in meetings, and it's like, oh, that's awesome. But you can change gears. And so I like to make myself change gears into a different type of prayer. So, and this type of prayer is the faith declarative prayer. It's the what we would call front-footed prayer. It's the prayer that, okay, waiting on God fuels me, refreshes me. I'll burn out if I'm only ever praying front-footed prayer. But I'll get soft and ineffective if I don't know how to pray front-footed, faith-filled prayers. And Hebrews 11:1 tells us this, that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things unseen. It goes on and says, and by it, by faith, the elders have obtained a good testimony. By faith, the Pringles have obtained a good testimony for what you see in this room and around the world. By faith, the McIntyres have obtained a good testimony, the Kelseys and many others. This is talking about the Old Testament heroes. What they achieved was by faith. It goes on and says this, by faith we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God. They were framed by the rhema word of God. So that what we see is being created by what we don't see. By what we don't see. So here's this kind of prayer is framing your world. You're framing your world. But so this is what I like to do. I actually like to break it up into thirds. If I'm going to pray for an hour, I'll do a third in tongues, a third waiting and worshiping God, and a third getting myself onto the front foot. And I read faith scriptures, and I understand when Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then he said, basically what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth. I'm sorry. So when we pray this prayer, we've worshiped, we've come in, we've enjoyed Jesus, but now we're seated with him in heavenly places and we're taking authority to break things, to loose things, to release things. I love what he says to Jeremiah. I believe it's Jeremiah. I've got it written down here. Jeremiah, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said, behold, I put my words in your mouth. The word of God is supposed to be in our mouths. See, I've set you today over nations and kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to build up and to plant. So with the word of God, the rhema words of God in your mouth, we're speaking, we're declaring, we're creating every day. We don't feel like it, but you are framing your world. So this is what I like to do. I like to spend some time framing my world. Because I find the biggest problem in my world is my thought life and insecurities and drifting away. So I've created a soundtrack that every day I declare these things over myself. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach. It's the Word. It's not just a feel-good thing. It's the Word of God in my mouth. I read a scripture 10 years ago. The Lord spoke to me when I was particularly feeling insecure. He said, you're not inferior to the most eminent of apostles. So it became part of my soundtrack. I'm not inferior. And it became part of what you say about yourself eventually becomes your reality. You are rooting out stupid thinking and creating God's thinking about your life. You are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the declaration. And so I spend time declaring the Word over me. Then I just go through these things. I begin to pray for my wife. I say, thank you, Lord. You've given me a beautiful wife. And because of her, I obtain favor from the Lord. I declare over her that she will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing in the very heart of our house. Every day I declare these. And there's specific issues, I'll pray them, but I always start with the Word of God. I pray over our children and I say, Lord, I thank you for our children. Our children will be taught of the Lord. Great will be the well-being of Jackson, Natalie, Mitchell, Lydia, Gemma. When our son was going through his prodigal years building his testimony, for about 3 years, I would declare those scriptures over him, but God gave us another one from Hebrews and we said, Mitchell, he's not one who will turn away from God to his own destruction. He's a faithful one who will be saved. He's a faithful and fruitful one and God fulfilled it. Can I get the band to come on up right now? Declare it. I go through, pray over my business, seeing God prosper it. I pray over the Pringles every day. I got photos on my prayer wall. The scripture says this about the Spirit of God came upon Amasai and he declared success to them and success to those who helped them. So over Pastor Phil and Chris every day, I say, Lord, success to the Pringles and success to everybody who helps them. And then I'll pray for the needs and the specific things. And I start to pray for my team. I pray, God, for Dan and Ebony Frecker, who started a church in Melbourne, that they'll be strong and bold and courageous. And I go through my team. And I go through friends who don't know Jesus that God's put me in their world. And I just declare over them scripture, the Word of God. God's word in your mouth will, you're framing your world by the Word of God in your mouth. No wonder the devil wants you to not pray. I had the privilege of leading one of my boot camp friends to Jesus earlier this year. He'd been on my prayer list for quite a while and she's got cancer and actually said, would I do a funeral? And had the privilege of leading her to Jesus. How's that happened? Because, well, I'm just framing my world by the rhema word of God every day. And then I have different time when I pray for our church at the office and I do the same stuff. Tongues, wait on God and take the prophetic promises of God and declare them over our church. I want us to stand to our feet right now. Would you not watch with me for 1 hour? Jesus said it to his disciples. Watch and pray. Your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. Now, I know there's prayer warriors in here who'd put me to shame. You pray hours and after hours every day, and we salute you. I know there's pastors here who just, you're locked and loaded on your prayer life. But I'm wondering if there's some people, and I know there is because this is what God told me to speak about. Not in a religious, legalistic way. Not where you have to ring somebody up and ask them to forgive you because you only made 40 minutes one day. Or you're sick or whatever. Not in that kind of way. But in a way that you're going, I'm going to pray first. It's my priority. And I know God's calling some pastors back to that place of prayer for an hour. And I know God's calling some new people to make that commitment. Some business people. One of the keys to breakthrough in my business was praying half an hour in my business every day, separate to my personal quiet time. God just did miracle after miracle after miracle. So without drawing this out, no one's going to pray for you out the front here because that's your job. But if you're before the Lord wanting to make a commitment that starting tomorrow, not like in 2 weeks after holidays, because the devil doesn't go on holidays. He's not like, oh, they're on holidays, I'll leave them alone. If you're going to say, I want to commit to an hour of prayer. Now, if you're already doing it, this is not for you, but if you're going to commit to that or come back to that, come down the front right now. Just begin to come down the front. This is a holy moment. Come back to it. Commit to it. There's a line up across the front. Timothy, first pray. Let supplication, intercession, and prayers be made for all men. I want you to lift up holy hands in prayer without wrath or doubting. Some of you will look back on this moment and it's going to save you from crisis. It's going to save you from the enemy's schemes. It's going to keep you safe. I love what Pastor Phil says, praying men don't sin and sinning men don't pray. If you need to come and kneel before God, come and kneel. This is a holy moment.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, and our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.